Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Radio Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Monday, December the 2nd, day number 336 of 2019. We're on to show number 189. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And of course, in addition to radio on 101.1 and 99.1 FM, you can also follow us live online at our website, RCISTLUCIA. That's RCISaintLucia.com, as well as our Facebook Live. And just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And remember to please like and share that as well with your friends. And on the menu today in the lunchroom, for our dish of the day, we'll be discussing elections in Dominica and some of the issues arising from the campaign. I'll be speaking with Caribbean legal luminary, Dominican-born Mr. Anthony Astafan SC, about the upcoming general elections and the opposition's call for electoral reform. And for our entree, I'll be speaking with Miss Deirdre Powell, and she's an attorney at law based in Ottawa, Canada, specializing in immigration law, and we'll be speaking about what it takes to migrate to Canada. And a few birthday wishes for December the 2nd go out to Miss Leanne Yard, Miss Ronalyn Jean, Mr. David Hippolyte, and Mr. Shane Didier. Happy birthday to each and every one of you, and we hope for you the very best of health and happiness in the year to come. And a few special days indeed. It was over the weekend that Barbados celebrated its independence on November the 30th, Feast of St. Andrew over there. And so we wish all Barbadians in St. Lucia, Barbados, and the rest of the world a belated happy independence. And it's also Independence Day, or National Day, in the Southeast Asian country of Laos, as well as the Middle Eastern country of the United Arab Emirates. And interestingly enough, given that we're going to speak about immigration a little later in the program, in the UAE, it has a population of 9.2 million people, but only 1.4 million of those are actually Emirati citizens, the rest being expats. And today is also International Day for the Abolition of Slavery, and that has been recognized by the UN General Assembly since 1986. And just a bit of history: in 1851, on December the 2nd, French President Louis-Napoleon Bonaparte overthrows the Second Republic, and in fact, exactly a year after that, he becomes Emperor, crowned Napoleon III of France. In 1927, following 19 years of the production of the Ford Model T, they started a new line, and it was called the Model A. And in 1939, for those New Yorkers out there, LaGuardia Airport opens for the first time on December the 2nd. In 1988, the first Pakistani woman prime minister, Benazir Bhutto, is sworn in. And in 1993, Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar shot and killed in Medellin in Colombia on December the 2nd. And that's all for our time here in terms of history. And we're moving on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish has brought you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Cass Street, Bosse Jougros Delay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And happy Monday to all listeners at Radio Caribbean International and Radio Land. And thank you for joining us again for a brand new week. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, this week, in fact, on Friday, Dominica will be heading to the polls to determine who will hold the majority of the island's 21 elected seats in Parliament, and whether the incumbent Dominica Labour Party's political leader, Roosevelt Skerrett, will be given another term, a fourth term, or whether his rival United Workers' Party leader, Lennox Linton, would be able to unseat him. Now, this election has certainly been filled with twists and turns, and one such matter is that of the United Workers' Party's claim that the election electoral system is unfair and can be manipulated, and therefore there has been calls for electoral reform and a postponement of the elections until next year. Now, online, on the phone with right now, I believe Mr. Anthony Astafan, Dominican-born lawyer, attorney at law, is with us. Mr. Astafan, how are you?
I'm fine, Gary. How are you, man?
Very good, although I think we're barely hearing you, unfortunately. I'm not sure if this is on our side, but could you just speak up
can
just a bit more?
Now?
Yes, a little bit better, yes. Now...
my microphone. Okay, I know what to do.
All right, could you just bear with us a little bit, please? Yes, go right ahead.
No, I said, is this better now?
Much, much better. Thank you very much. Now, of course, we understand elections is in full swing. The campaigns on both sides, manifestos have been put out. And one of the major issues being put forward by the opposition United Workers Party, led by Mr. Linton, is that of electoral reform. Seems to be a very long in coming matter, something that has been dating for quite a number of years in Dominica.
Well, the truth, let the truth be told. The question of electoral reform has been discussed in Dominica for many years. The Prime Minister, the government had allocated, following consultations with an expert from the Commonwealth, Ms. Pauline Welsh, some $6 million to give effect to the confirmation process, which is a cleansing of the list process recommended and approved by her, and for the issuing of the ID cards. That took effect sometime in 2017. The government went to the parliament in 2017, and there were riots, and the attempt to storm the barracks, to storm the parliament, as a result of which the parliament had to be adjourned because of the violence and the bills were not passed into law.
And why was that the case? Why were there riots and all these attempts to stop the process?
They said, because the government was seeking to legalize bribery. Now, I don't know how anybody in their right mind could have thought that or said that. But after further consultations, the Attorney General advised that seeing the amendments to bribery and treaty would not affect the existing law, you may as well take the amendments out. On the 29th of August, 2018, Lennox Linton publicly declared that having seen the bills without the provisions for bribery and treaty, they were in order and they would allow the process to take place towards the ID cards. A week or two later, when Parliament met, one of his right-hand men from the Concerned Citizens Movement in inverted commas filed an application, a constitutional claim and an application for an injunction to stop the delaying of the revised bills before the House. And the Attorney General had informed me, in fact, both the Prime Minister and the Attorney General indicated to me that the Prime Minister had sought the advice of the Attorney General, who said to him that based on a decision from St. Kitts, the Mark Brantley Privy Council case, and I suggested the Court of Appeal decision in the Sir Jerry Watt matter, that it may not be right for the Parliament to push through the bills in the face of that constitutional claim. So that led to further delay. And I think I should also say, seeing it's a fairly long story, I need to keep it fairly short. The chairman of the Election Commission had made it very clear in a recent consultation that the delay in passing the bills were going to seriously prejudice the commission's ability to get ready for the next election if the bills are passed and enacted by the parliament late in the term. So yes, we've been having debates about electoral reform. Yes, the Prime Minister made provisions for financing the machinery for it. Yes, the machinery was bought. Yes, the software was bought. Yes, this was bought. Yes, the Prime Minister requested a consultant from the Commonwealth to come, who came and advise on the bills, and it was stopped once by violence and secondly by a claim for constitutional relief and an injunction. And I think any civilized government, in whatever part of the world, faced with violence, would rather postpone the House and get somebody killed, and faced with a claim for an injunction, would not want to fall into the same dilemma that the former government of St. Kitts found itself.
Now, quite recently, there was a statement that was carried by a local online news agency here in St. Lucia, SNO, St. Lucia News Online, suggesting that an election observer, a member of the of St. Lucia's Electoral Commission here, had been indicating that Mr. Skerritt's approach to electoral reform is unbecoming. And that was a statement made by Mr. Michael Flood, speaking on the matter. What would you say to a statement like that?
It is soaked and pregnant with ignorance. Only somebody that has come, either somebody who's being dishonest or somebody who's ignorant of the facts, could make such a silly statement. It is not only false, it is silly, it is dishonest, and it fits, and I almost got the impression it was tailored to fit a partisan part of the jigsaw puzzle for the United Workers Party in Dominica. But what was unbecoming? Providing the $6 million, requesting the expert from the Commonwealth, getting the Attorney General with other experts to draft the bills, and what was unbecoming? Taking the bills to the Parliament and adjourning the House because of violence, our case for an injunction. What was the unbecoming part?
Well, I think he's taken aim specifically about issues relating to a number of individuals who are sort of fly-in voters, who have not really spent their past 5 years in Dominica, but every 5 years they fly in and vote.
But he cannot make that statement. That statement is another one pregnant with ignorance. We have had numerous discussions on that. The names are on the list. The names are published on the list. Every single person has the right to object to names on the list. There are no names on the list. None. No objections made. But the confirmation process with Mr. Linton's gang stopped through violence and through an injunction would have provided a confirmation process requiring everybody in the diaspora, as well as locally, to apply to be confirmed. And that if you did not meet the qualifications and you could not establish that you would have been in Dominica at least once in the last 5 years, you would not be confirmed and therefore would be removed from the register. But Mr. Foote would not have been told that, or if he was told that, he kept it away from the public. In addition to that, I can safely tell you, in Antigua, in St. Kitts, in Dominica, on two occasions, in cases that I have been involved in professionally, the issue of providing transportation to voters has been a question raised on more than one issue, and on every single occasion, the allegation that constituted bribery has failed. Now, I don't know if Mr. Flood is going to say that the judges are themselves part of the problem, but these are matters that have been dealt judicially with the matter. And if there are anybody on the list, who should not be there because he has not been back for at least 5 years, that is the complete and absolute fault of the opposition, for one, not taking objections, and two, not allowing the confirmation process to pass, which the Commonwealth Observer said would have provided Dominica with a full and complete revocation and updated list. I would have led to the removal of everybody on the list who was not qualified to be on the list.
But in terms of the voter process itself and the absence of ID cards, there's a suggestion that that is certainly a very grave one, that persons may tend to be, there's a possibility that persons may end up voting twice or...
I like that language. The Commonwealth Observers and the OAS Observers in the last two elections have made it clear that despite the absence of ID cards, which was held back again by the violence and the injunction, has not led to fraudulent voting in the Commonwealth of Dominica at all. And they say the reason is clear. These polling divisions and these polling areas are so small, even though the country is large. And with polling agents in the booth as well as outside the booth and the opportunity to check the voters' list before it is published, Dominica does not have a record. So forget the possibility. In fact, Dominica does not have a record of fraudulent voting.
So what do you say? What would you say then to this, the suggestion that the whole process should perhaps be delayed until next year to ensure that there's some sort of a voter ID system in place?
Why should the government consider for a moment accommodating the opposition, who have spent the better part since 2017 with threats of violence and other means to prevent the reforms from taking place, which, had they taken place in November, would have led to all of the necessary changes recommended by the Commonwealth. We cannot pander, we cannot seek to change. I'm trying to find the right word. Based not on a sense of cooperation, but a French of on the basis of dictation, high, with threats of violence. I mean, Talix, all I can tell you is that precisely what they're clamoring for now, or what they prevented from taking place earlier on, because of threats of violence and the injunction, and the application for the injunction. And I don't know how you can say it is unbecoming for a prime minister to insist on an election in accordance with the existing law, when in fact all of his attempts to remedy these so-called deficiencies and put in place changes which the observer said will be consistent with international best practices, to prevent it from happening and then end up crying foul on the eve of an election.
Well, Mr. Asafan,
elections have consequences, so does conduct.
Right. Mr. Asafan, indeed, we'll be trying to cover a lot more of what is going on in Dominica over the coming week, in the lead up to Friday's general election, no doubt. And hopefully we may be able to get a chance to speak again on some of the other issues which are coming up. Of course, the whole Al Jazeera report and where that has led in terms of the political direction of voters come the general election on Friday. So thank you very, very much for giving us your opinion regarding this whole situation of electoral reform requests in Dominica.
Thank you, Carlos.
And all the best. Take care. And that is our dish of the day. When we come back, I'll be speaking with Ms. Deirdre Powell regarding immigration to Canada.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Style. We have style. Plus, we have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejoux Grosdelay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Now, of course, St. Lucia and St. Lucians are quite well known, as with many other parts of the people in the Caribbean, to be looking to move across to look at new opportunities all around the world. And one of the countries that they do that, or they seek to go to, is indeed the North American country of Canada. And Canada has a population of about 37 million people, compared to its neighbor just south of it of over 300. But it still seems to be a very popular choice for migration. It is the world's second largest country by area. It is a vast country indeed, lots of space to go around, and it has prided itself for very welcoming immigration policies and multiculturalism. And Canada has currently one of the highest per capita rates of immigration in the world, and that's driven by its economic policy as well as beliefs in family reunification. Canada also resettles over 1 in 10 of the world's refugees, and approximately two-fifths, or 41% of Canadians, are either the first or second generation immigrants. And one out of every five Canadians living in Canada was not born in that country. Well, I'm very pleased to have in studio with me Ms. Deirdre Powell, and she is an Ottawa lawyer, mediator, notary public. She is a holder of a BSc, LLB, as well as an LLM. She's a lawyer mediator as well, and she specializes as well in immigration law. And so we're very pleased to have Ms. Deirdre Powell in studio with me, I believe, in St. Lucia for the first time. Unbelievably, even though she, in fact, studied law at Cayville in Barbados.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, though, Deirdre, before we actually get into the whole meat of the matter of immigration.
So I was born in Jamaica, and I lived there for a number of years, did my Bachelor of Laws in Barbados, and I did my Master of Laws in London, England. And then I moved to Canada, and I did the accreditation, became a lawyer there. And for more than 10 years, I've been living and working in Canada as an immigration lawyer.
But tell us about your own choice to decide to actually migrate to Canada.
To Canada. Well, I think my love of Canada came from being an exchange student. So I went to Canada as a teenager, and I did an exchange program and spent a year living in Iroquois Falls, or they would say the boonies.
So this is in the boondocks,
in
right?
The boondocks. I skied on Father's Day. That's June. That is to tell you how cold it
right.
was. So that was my first exposure to Canada. And I returned to the Caribbean, did my Bachelor of Science at UWE Mona. Then I did law in Barbados. Worked in Jamaica for a while, then went on to living in Canada. So most of my work experience has really been in Canada.
But tell us a little bit about why would people want to decide to even migrate to Canada? It's clearly most of the country is cold for most of the year. It seems as if it's, in comparison to the United States, where you have certainly much warmer climes and options, much smaller population as well. What's the big pull for Canada in particular?
Safety, the inclusivity, the fact that you're welcoming. Canada is welcoming of all immigrants. You feel safe, you feel as if you can integrate and progress there as opposed to other countries. And as much as people think the weather is bad, there is really no bad weather, it's just bad dressing.
Well, that's an interesting perspective to put it on.
If you put on the right coat and everything, you can ski, skate, skidoo, have fun in the cold. So I think the variety and the ability to do well. For me, I practiced in Jamaica, and I was able to go there and establish my own practice as well. So I think it's a place that is welcoming, and there are opportunities there. And I feel safe, and I don't have to worry about there is racism, but it's not in your face, and you don't feel as if your life and liberty is threatened. So that's one of the main things about Canada. There are so many benefits. One of the things that people look at is the medical benefits. That is very good. The retirement benefits. Canada protects their old and the old and the vulnerable. And so that is also some of the reasons why Canada is so attractive.
And we'll certainly get into some of the details in terms of immigration. But just before we actually go for our weather break, I just wanted to get a sense, though, what would you say? Are there cultural differences, you would say, between the United States and Canada that make it a little bit more attractive?
Canadians are nice. We are nice people. And so I find you will go to Canada and you the people are polite. They're kind. I live in a neighborhood where my neighbors are like my family. And that's, I think, is completely different from the U.S. Of course, they're the bigger cities, you tend not to have that same kind of relationship because people are just working and not interacting as much. But even in Canada, there is a representative from pretty much every single country there. There are organizations, there are groups of people. You have the Jamaican Association, the St. Lucian Association, the Antiguan, the Barbadians, the Trinidadian Association there, because there are several individuals from these countries. So there's nowhere that you can't find food. from your own country. So you, and it's not so far away. It's very close. It's not like England or Australia.
Yes, and we know Canadians do, in fact, pride themselves on their belief in multiculturalism. And
exactly.
Of course, we'll perhaps talk about that a little bit later as well, just after we take a break for the weather.
Okay, thanks.
Merry Christmas!
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas, come and get your Fritas, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that.
So are you mad? What you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest,
yeah,
we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal.
And good timing too.
So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas.
And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Now for a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 2nd of December 2019. Our forecast for this afternoon, Lamuel O'Shaughnessy. Present weather at Huronora, partly cloudy, also partly cloudy at George Charles. Present temperature at Huronora, 31 degrees Celsius or 88 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronora was 26 degrees Celsius or 79 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronora is blowing from the east at 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers. After a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., 3 millimeters of rainfall was recorded at Huronora, and at George Charles, 10.8 millimeters was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of December thus far, 3 millimeters at Huronora, 10.8 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today, 27 before 6 and rise in the morning, 13 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, southeast and the east, near 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. And the weather, partly cloudy skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers and a slight chance of isolated thunderstorms. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, southeast and the east, near 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. The weather, partly cloudy skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers and a slight chance of isolated thunderstorms. Turning now to take a look at the marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Presently, we are experiencing low tide at the Castries Harbour. The high tide will be at 7:30 tonight. And the low tide for the VF4B will be at 21 before 3 this afternoon. And the high tide will be at 23 before 9 tonight. The seas are locally rough. The waves and northeasterly swells are 6 to 9 feet. That's the same as 1.8 to 2.7 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and sea bathers are advised to exercise caution due to rough seas and brisk winds. Small craft operators, I know you're tuned in, so please be guided accordingly. Also, sea bathers, please heed the cautions. Rough seas, brisk winds, and you're advised to exercise caution. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy to cloudy skies with some scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And our weather summary, moisture and instability associated with a surface trough just east of the Lesser Antilles will continue to cause occasional cloudiness, showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms over our region during the next 24 hours. So please take note, be guided. That's our official weather report. Thank you very much, Lamiel, for the update at this hour. The weather was brought to you by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, come and get your free tires, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style Thailand Bath.
So are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free.
Really?
And to be honest,
yeah,
we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal.
And good timing too.
So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas.
And look how nice those tires are.
Free tires, free tires. Ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best price batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom, and we're discussing migration to Canada. Of course, there are a number of different programs that have been in place for quite some time over the decades, and we've received quite a bit of assistance from the government of Canada through CEDA, what it was known back in the day, the International Airport. Hewanor International Airport was a gift of the Canadian government, as well as the Castries Comprehensive Secondary School. And a number of scholarship holders, persons went across to Canada from the 60s. And a very popular program, which still exists today, is that Farm Help Program.
Yes.
Farm Workers Program, which still exists. But we're speaking about the options right now of permanent migration to Canada. And I'm speaking with Ms. Deirdre Powell, attorney at law, based in Ottawa, and she is also a Jamaican, so yes, she's a migrant herself to, yes, Canada, and has been up there for over 11 years, mm-hmm, as well. So, Deirdre, tell us a little bit about some of the processes, because I think a lot of Saint-Lucians know about, well, the green card for the United States and getting on that lottery and hoping that Auntie so-and-so will assist us in that whole process. How does it work with in Canada's case?
The system in Canada is a little bit different. So it's not based solely on family sponsorship. What is very popular is what people call the self-sponsorship. And these are economic immigrants. So if you are, you have the money, you have the education, the work experience, you can sponsor yourself to go to Canada. This is usually under the Federal Skill Worker Program, the FSWP, or the Federal Skill Trade Program. So these professionals, as long as you you can show that you have the education and the language skills and the experience, you don't need the help of anyone else. You can actually just sponsor yourself. I myself did the same. I am an economic immigrant because all I did was went through the same process, prove that I had the education, the skill, and that I would be able to settle and integrate into the society. And so based on my experience, I keep telling people, I am talking from experience. I can tell you that this is possible, and it is a place that that a lot of Caribbean immigrants can really do well.
Right. So, but let's say, for instance, if you have an individual who may be a plumber, mm-hmm, and I think in St. Lucia's case, you don't really have very good certification skills or certification programs in place for plumbing. Mm-hmm. How would one approach that sort of situation?
So one of the things that I keep telling people is Canada is big on education. You must have education in order to do well there. You're going to be tested on your ability to read, write, listen, and speak English quite well, English or French. So that is something that you need to excel on. Now, for the plumber, one of the first thing I want to find out is how did they get that skill in the first place? Were they an apprentice? Did they have CXCs or O-level training before? If you don't have that basic training and you have your CXCs, say 5 CXCs, what I would recommend for that plumber is to come to Canada as a student, spend a year getting the equivalent to a Canadian certification so that you can then apply to live permanently. Because it's not informal. The education system there is not.
So you need to have your certification.
You need your certification. And if you don't have it in your home country, then you need to get it in Canada. It's a little bit more expensive when you have to come to Canada as an international student to get the accreditation. But it is possible. It's a matter of examining what are your credentials and then selecting the program that is most suited for you.
So would this be how you would be speaking about your whole study permit system? Is that what you...
So that's why several students, several individuals, they get what is called a study permit. When you have a study permit to Canada, you have the option of working up to 20 hours per week on a part-time basis while you're studying on a full-time basis. So a lot of students find that quite helpful because they can, they will have the extra funding to be able to do that. But the education is critical. So you either have your education in your home country or you go to Canada to study to get the credentials, and then you can apply for permanent residence.
And is there a minimum bar in terms of education requirements?
Yes, so that would be dependent on your what we call the NOC code, so the National Occupational Code. So each occupation, Canada is very structured that way. And if you go on the Government of Canada's website, you can see for each occupation, what are the credentials that you need. Some you just need high school credentials. There are some that you need college, a minimum 1 year college certification. There are some that need a degree or a master's. But you can just look to see which category you fall in.
And you could give us a sense as to where you'd go to see that? Is it Immigration Canada?
Canada.ca. Mm-hmm. It's their website. They have integrated everything onto the Canada.ca website. And if you all you need to do is look for the NOC code, N-O-C code, mm-hmm. and that will tell you what are the requirements for that particular skill.
Right. Now, how long does this process take? Because we know, again, in the U.S., which I like to use as a comparison, mm-hmm. it might take you 7 years waiting for Uncle so-and-so to get the
green card. The U.S. system is very
long. So in the case of Canada, how does that work?
In Canada, it depends on the program that you're doing. So if you're an economic immigrant, your application can be processed in as little as 6 months. For me, my application was processed in less than 6 months. So it's a matter of you putting together your application. The government is committed to doing your application, processing it. And that's why they have what is called the express entry system. You enter your information in, you upload all your documents to their system, they examine it, and then determine whether or not you would be a good fit for the country.
Is there an interview process one has to go through?
There are very few times when an interview is necessary, but most times based on your documents, and that's why it's very important to put forward the right documents, because the wrong documents or incomplete applications can cause your applications to be rejected. So you need to make sure that it's done properly from the first time. Once you have uploaded all those information, they will examine it and tell you whether or not you qualify. Then they give you a confirmation of permanent residence, usually within 6 months. And once you have your confirmation of permanent residence, then you're on your way to being a permanent resident. And what you get is not the green card, but you get a Canadian permanent resident card. And once that has been granted to you, you have the rights of any other Canadian. The only difference between you and a Canadian citizen is the fact that you will not be able to vote or have a Canadian passport until you have applied for citizenship.
So you can, in fact, enjoy the benefits of health care or education, whatever the case may be,
yes.
welfare even,
yes.
once you're a permanent resident.
Yes.
And then the next step, though, but how do you keep that? How would you be able to maintain being a permanent resident?
So to be a permanent resident, you need to establish residency there. So I know there are some people who have landed. We call it landing because you have your when you land, it's a date when you become that date becomes very significant, mm-hmm. and you'll always be asked, when did you land? So you need to make sure you choose a date that you can remember. I did Valentine's Day so that I can remember the date quite easily, mm-hmm. right? So that date determines when you can apply for citizenship. You need to be in the country, you need to stay there at least 6 months at a time to maintain benefits like health benefits. Otherwise, you'll be considered to be a non-resident. Even when buying a property, if you've been outside of the country 183 days for a year, you're considered a non-resident. So you need to be very careful about that. Until you are confirmed as a citizen, then I tell people, don't stay too long outside of the country, because it's better to just stay and get your citizenship. Then you're free to go back and forth quite easily, and you don't lose your benefits.
And how long does that take, a citizenship?
To become a citizen, you need to establish that you have been within the country just over 1,200 days within the last 3 years.
Okay.
Out of five. Right. So it used to be 5 years or more, but as soon as you've been in the country 3 years, as long as you can establish the number of days that are required, then you can apply.
So it's not like 7 years in some places.
No.
In St. Lucia, I think citizenship is 7 years. So you can become a Canadian citizen within
After your third year.
Mm-hmm. And then you say you can vote, you can get your passport if you so
yes.
choose. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So moving on now, though, in terms of figuring out where to live, you know, what to expect? Are there special programs in place for that to assist individuals?
So it depends. Some people want to be with their family members. I understand that. And a majority of Caribbean and West Indian individuals have relatives in Toronto. But I'm saying to people, there are so many beautiful...
It's a big country out there.
It is a big country, and there are so many opportunities. A house in Ottawa could cost you $600,000, while that same house in Toronto will be $1.5 or $3 million. So while you may be getting more jobs and getting a higher salary there, the living expenses there are really high. And I just wrote an article in the Jamaican Gleaner recently where I talked about the rural programs where they are welcoming individuals into these rural communities. I mentioned that I lived in Iroquois Falls, which is beyond Timmins and Sudbury in Ontario.
But still in Ontario.
Still
though.
In Ontario, but just outside, but in the northern sections. Mm-hmm. But they need people in these communities, and there are lots of job opportunities in these places. And if it is that you want to work and do well and make a significant contribution to a community, why not choose somewhere where you can really make an impact and where you and your family can do well? If you stay in the crowded sections, then you are going to find it challenging. So I keep telling people, do not limit yourself to Ontario. Don't limit your Manitoba. Manitoba has been doing so well. And that is an area where I encourage my clients who are over 40, look at those opportunities, because age is a very important factor. But you can get a provincial nominee by living in some of the other provinces, Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia. I love Nova Scotia, Newfoundland.
And a very long tradition of connection between the Caribbean and
exactly.
Nova Scotia as well, historically.
Yes.
So, but yet still, even with these situations and the ease of it, we still have seen quite a bit of illegal immigration to Canada. And as well, the issues of individuals seeking refugee status to Canada. Speak a little bit about that as well for us.
So,
is that a good idea?
No. People are being misled. The systems have changed. And now the U.S. system and the Canadian immigration system are linked. So you are going to find that if you've done something, if you do anything, overstay in one country, then it's going to affect your ability to settle in the other country. And I tell people, do it the correct way, because it's harder to fix something than to follow the right processes. And with computer systems now, it's really hard to really deceive or to try and get into the system, you know, get permanent residence if you don't follow the correct route. You follow the correct route, you get the correct legal advice, then you are better off that way. 15 years ago, you could take those routes and plea humanitarian and compassionate grounds and appeal. Those routes are not working anymore. It's better to follow the established new rules and systems than to go and try to follow those illegal methods. They don't work. They're sending people back home.
Of course, you can call in if you have any questions for Ms. Deirdre Powell, attorney at law in Canada. Our number here is 452-3046, 452-3046, as well as our WhatsApp platform. The number is 724-0008, 724-0008. So a very common one was for individuals to be claiming homophobia in the country that they're coming from, and so therefore, because of that exposure and buggery laws and that sort of thing on the books, that therefore they would be able to seek refugee or asylum in Canada.
So
is that something that they could really
still
do?
It still happens, and in fact, it used to happen.
Can we just hold that point, because
yes.
We have a call coming in?
Okay.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good Yes, what would your charming attorney advise or maybe give an opinion on the possibility of St. Lucians ever being able to go back to Canada visa-free? What will need to take place? Can she answer that?
Very good question, caller. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you just hold that thought, and we're just going to take another call very quickly.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yes, I would like to pose a question to the attorney who's speaking, please.
Yes, go right ahead, caller.
Yes, I would like to find out some more about the IELTS exam that's required, as well as the sum of money required to show that you can live comfortably in Canada.
Okay.
Very good questions, caller. Thank you very much.
Good.
So the first one, I don't know if you want to tackle it in that order.
The visa-free access is more of a political matter. I think it is a political matter and something that I don't see is going to change anytime soon. In fact, they're tightening the whole system more and more. And even other countries who used to be visa-free, like even the U.S., if you have a U.S. green card, you used to be able to go to Canada without a visa. Now, it's not that you need a visa, but you have to do what is called an ETA application online before. So they're tightening the system more and more, so there's no escaping. It's necessary to just go with the route.
So political promises of visa-free access to Canada is perhaps not on the cards for a little while. A little while. And, of course, a very relevant question regarding the examination, which you mentioned, my lady, as well as
I thank that caller for that question, because that's a very critical question, because language requirement is very important. So you need to show that you are competent in English or French. Those are the two main languages in Canada. So the IELTS is the British examination that you must do if you're applying to go as an economic immigrant. So if you're applying as a federal skilled worker or a federal skilled trade worker, you need to show that you have the ability to speak quite well, not just speak, but listen and write. And so you're tested on four different areas. And so the IELTS general training is required for the Federal Skilled Worker Program and the Federal Skilled Trade Program. In Canada, if you're sitting the exam in Canada, it's the CELPIP, C-E-L-P-I-P, exam general that you are required to do. If you're applying to go to some schools, you need to do the IELTS academic examination. So these exams are required. It just depends on which program that you're going to be doing and whether or not you're planning to study or immigrate permanently. But you must do the IELTS general training. Now, I don't think that exam is available here in St. Lucia. My clients go to Trinidad, or they go to Jamaica or Florida to sit the exam. The CELPIP is only available in the U.S. and Canada, so people tend to fly there to do that exam.
And is it required for everybody, or is it just in...
Everybody.
Yeah, so there regardless of whether you've gotten an A in general paper, A-levels, or in whatever, you still have to prove.
There was a time when, once you're from an English-speaking country, you were not required to present these proof. Mm-hmm. But that changed recently, and so they said, okay, no, we have discovered that even though someone is from an English-speaking country, they really are not excelling as much as they expect them to. The listening and the reading component is a very important section of the examination. So people, it's not a walkover. People need to prepare for the exam. It is an examination that you must prepare for.
Right.
And you can find examples on YouTube, and plus I send sample questions to my clients to make sure that they're able to do well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Certainly. And the other question, yes, in terms of the sum of money required to be able to show that you can live comfortably.
So if you're an economic immigrant, I recommend that you have a minimum of 12,000 US. The government of Canada say 12,669 Canadian dollars. But you don't want to be at the minimum because each time, each year, that figure changes. And if you have applied and the figure changes, then you automatically become, you're not qualified. Right, if, so it's better to have more than the required. So I tell people, try to have, most people in the Caribbean, they tend to have savings in U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. So I say to them, try to have a minimum of 12,000 U.S. if you're a single individual. If you're married, so there are two of you, you want to have a minimum of 15,000 US dollars. If you are, you have a child, you're married and you have a child.
So that's about $40,500, which you need to have to show that you have saved up.
Yes. So you have it in
EC
your
dollars. I'm just
EC, you're doing the conversion for me. Thank you. So you want to have that in savings or investment. You can't say, oh, I own a house that is valued at that.
Right.
That you, it need to be liquid funds. So savings, investments, stocks, bonds, those liquid funds, you need to show that you have that. So a letter from your financial institution will work for that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, why would somebody need to get to you now in terms of the assistance for immigration law?
Because you want to do it right the first time. Mm-hmm. People make mistakes, and it's harder to fix the mistakes than it is to do it right the first time. You need to have an authorized immigration consultant. IRCC, which is formerly CIC, that's the organization, the Immigration Authority in Canada, they will not accept applications from unauthorized individuals. So it's up to you, the public, to do your investigation, to make sure that the person that you're giving your money to, and I'm asking you, please investigate the people that are out there that are saying that they're immigration consultants. Most times it's not lawyers that are doing these things. It's usually the people claiming to be immigration consultants that are taking people's money and essentially doing nothing. And not only that, they're not able to help them because IRCC will not accept applications from people who are not authorized to do that. The persons who are authorized to do that are individuals who are members of the law societies of Canada. So each province has their own law society. Uh-huh. I'm a member of the Law Society of Ontario. Uh-huh. Yeah, It used to be Upper Canada. Yeah, it's the Law Society of Upper Canada. Uh-huh. They recently changed it to the Law Society of Ontario. It simple for everyone.
Right.
So it's the Law Society of Ontario. If you are thinking of moving to Nova Scotia, you can use someone in Nova Scotia. But as a member of the Law Society of Ontario, I'm authorized to help anyone worldwide who are looking to move to Canada in any province.
And how long are you going to be here for? And how would somebody reach you? You know.
So my website is deidrepowell.com, and it's deidrepowell.com. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter,
all social media,
everything. And clients do contact me through all those medium, and I'm always answering. My staff is always answering. I'm also answering you. Always there, willing to provide you with information. But the best way is to go to my website, deidrepowell.com. There is a contact us section on my website. You just need to put your information in, and I can tell you whether or not, based on the information you put there, I can tell you whether or not you would be qualified under the express entry system. Or I can tell you, okay, based on what you've told me, the federal skill worker program or the federal skill trade program is not appropriate. Maybe we need to take another route, and I will explore the different options that are available.
So you can guide people through the system.
Through the system and make sure it's done right the first time.
Well, Ms. Powell, we are unfortunately out of time here at the lunchroom, but it's certainly a pleasure to have you here. I'm pretty certain that there are lots of individuals out there who have been listening quite intently at what you've been indicating in terms of that possibility for migrating to Canada. So thank you very much for joining us here at the lunchroom.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me.
And tomorrow, we're continuing our week. We'll be speaking tomorrow with a young St. Lucian author, and her name is Ingrid Schollery. A very interesting book entitled Strength of a Woman. And on Wednesday, we'll be discussing some road safety matters, and I'll have some representatives of the Taxi Union and the National Council on Public Transport, and that's an initiative being pushed by the Department of Transport. Thursday, we'll be chatting with the poet, playwright, Mr. MacDonald Dixon, and some persons from the cast of an upcoming theatrical production, Zookeeper, as well as one of Mr. Dixon's plays, Kesno, and that's the story of Black Malley, a chronicling of a true story that is 100 years old this December. And on Friday, I'll be speaking in studio with some representatives of the organization, the Eastern Caribbean States Education and Learning Initiative, and hopefully we'll also be trying to take in some of the happenings over in the Dominica elections during that show. So please do enjoy the rest of your Monday and have a good one. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.